Good morning. Happy July 4th weekend to you all. Are you guys hanging in there and being safe? It's already crowded out there, but it's good to see you all. Jimmy's here. How you doing? Sweet to be with you guys today. Let me just tell you that today's sermon, this is a life changer. I'm just going to warn you. Quality of life, freedom, like if we just do this, so much is taken care of. But I'm also going to say this on the front end, it's hard and probably most of you won't do it. So I say that as a little bit of a challenge up front. But before we get into that, let me just say congratulations to the McCarthys who just have a new baby girl, Quinn, which is fantastic. Child number four, three boys ahead of her. So, and those boys are fantastic. They remind me kind of like the Lost Boys from Peter Pan. But so we'll see how Quinn does. But I kind of think she's going to rule the roost. Also, Aria Arthur's wedding today, which is fantastic. So she and Kirby were so excited for us. So that's going to be fun. That's later. But yeah, fun moments of celebration today. So I'll just go ahead and spill the beans here. Today's sermon is about judgment. Did you see that coming? I know. And our relationship with this, with this voice to me, when we talk about freedom and it's for, you know, the gospel is setting us free, to me, this is one of the key things that we're set free from. But it's a hard one for us. And part of the difficulty here is we tend to not look at this thing within ourselves. And Jesus is going to lead us, I think, delicately but clearly into this and cause us to look at kind of what is the root cause of this thing in our hearts. And some of you might be sitting there thinking, I don't really struggle with judgment. And you're wrong. You're wrong. You do. And this is what's so hard about this thing. And to catch yourself doing it is so important. I'm preaching to myself, and I want you guys to know that. I had a moment this week where I was having a phone call with somebody else, kind of in the midst of something, and my phone rings, which is always a little distracting, right? I never quite know what to do to get that call so that I don't answer it. I want to send it to voicemail so that I don't interrupt my call. But with this one, it was the name of somebody who I haven't talked to probably at least on the phone for 10 years. But it's a name that for me is associated with quite a bit of internal turmoil. Do you have any of these people? Somebody once told me you can have three people and that's it. That, like, if there's a fourth, you got to deal with it, right? So it's like one of my three, right? And I'm like, oh gosh. And I think, well, I'm going to finish this call and then I'm going to listen to the voicemail and see. But and my phone's been having this weird thing where it takes a while for voicemails to come through. Anybody else? All right, what's going on there? But yeah, so in the interim, as I'm waiting for the voicemail, I start anticipating what this is going to be about. And I'm thinking, oh, okay, scenario A, it's this. Ooh, scenario B, even worse. Scenario C, even worse than that. And gosh, do I have the bandwidth for this right now? This is going to be hard. Trying to anticipate, well, maybe I'll just put this off. Maybe I'll come back later. And, you know, all this is going on in my head. And then the voicemail pops up, and I kind of like go hit it, and I'm like, wait, what is this? And all of a sudden realize, oh, this is like muffled music that I'm listening to in the back, and like, and it's going on, and then I can hear like little voices in the background, but I can't quite. And I'm like, this is a butt dial. And so I laugh, obviously. I laugh at myself. Oh, Jeff. But I'm like all of a sudden aware of all this energy in me, right? That all this anticipatory stress of what might take place, it's all like still in there. I'm carrying it in me. And I like want to shake it out of me, right? I heard recently that when we experience negative emotions, it activates the same pain centers in our brain associated with physical pain. Have you heard this? Which is interesting, right? That when we're stressed, even if it's anticipatory stress, and we start going into that mode, our brains light up as if we're being injured or hurt. And how we do this, ironically, if I'm evaluating my own self in this matter, I'm doing it to protect myself, right? I'm trying to prepare for what's going to happen, I'm trying to guard my heart so that I'm ready for anything. And inside, my brain is going, ouch, ouch, Jeff. And I think in all of this, so much of what we spend our time stressed or anticipating or predicting, evaluating, strategizing, are scenarios that really never quite come to be. That most of the time, we're doing this sort of subconsciously, constantly, you know, whatever that is, underneath it all, processing, preparing, anticipating, in order that we might somehow avoid the negative emotion. And see, this judgment, I think this is what it is. It's this voice that comes in and not just strategizes, but tries to figure out who's responsible and who's to blame. Do you do this? And we do it without even noticing it. I was talking to Phil about this, and he said, right, it's like your nose, right? That how many of you can see your nose right now? All of you can. Did you know that? You can. And it's always in your vision. You just edit it out, right? Like close an eye and there, like there it is, right? Can you see your nose? It's there, always in your frame of reference. But your brain comes in and says, this is unnecessary or whatever, we're going to pretend that this isn't here. And sometimes that works to our advantage, right? We don't need to always look at our nose, right? Unless we're self-conscious or something, you're like, oh, there it is again. But the truth is, this sort of selective seeing is actually a help to us. But the truth is, when it comes to this judgment, this self-protection, we're ignoring something that, as it turns out, is causing us quite a bit of distress. And that this distress is using up so much of our emotional bandwidth without us even noticing. And when I talk about this being a way to change your life, imagine if you were free from this. Imagine if you weren't constantly stuck in this mode of judgment, constantly evaluating, constantly anticipating. But in order to deal with it, we have to see it. And this is what Jesus knows. The series we're going through is on parables and how so much of what Jesus is trying to do is to get us to see things that we can't see, to hear things that we can't hear. But it involves us engaging with our hearts. It involves a choice on our part. It's like seeing with our hearts, hearing with our hearts. And too often in our sort of avoidance, we edit these things out, and we do it thinking that we're protecting ourselves. And so Jesus, in the end of the Sermon on the Mount, gives us what is a parable, but it's also an illustration, and it's one that you're very familiar with. But it's a poignant one, and it's a graphic image that he paints here, and I just want to read it for you guys. And Jesus' advice is this. He says, judge not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you pronounce, you will be judged, and with the measure you use it, it will be measured to you. Why do you see the speck that's in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when there's a log in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to take the speck out of your brother's eye. The word of the Lord. It's a great image, isn't it? Kind of gruesome. The eyes are so fragile, right? So Jesus is talking about splinters in our eyes, which to me just makes me cringe. I can't even put contact lenses in my eyes. I've tried, and it's like my eyes water so bad, and it's me at my worst when I'm trying to do that. So, but anyways, the eye, like a splinter in the eye, right? If you've had something in your eye, you know how that irritant is. And how we so often want to come in and help each other, like, oh, let me get that for you, right? And we've got this gaping wound here that we don't even know. We're like trying to do surgery. I always picture this like operation, you know, where you take these little tweezers and you're going in and it's like, right? We're like trying to go in and take this delicate thing out when our vision is so radically affected, where we're suffering, we're wounded. And all we can see is that speck in somebody else's eye. And I like how Jesus just goes, here's his advice. Don't do that. Like, stop. Because we're like, no, I almost got it. And he's like, just stop. And he says this, you have to take this log out of your eye. You have to do that first. Which I think is preceded by, do you even know that you have it? Right? He's going, you have this thing, and then we got to get rid of this thing. And then, actually, you can be set free. Because to help people with this is fine as long as we're not in judgment. But this judgment is the wound. And of course, this is hyperbole, but is it? I think this voice of judgment, it's interesting. He's saying, by the standard you judge others, you are judged. I think this is dead on. That voice with which we are going around and evaluating, picking the specks out of each other, it's not like that's only turned on when it affects others. That voice is constantly going, and it's constantly going inward as well. That I think it's avoiding that inward look that points us outward, but we cannot stop that judge from coming in and picking everything apart in our own lives. And it comes out in anger, it comes out in blame, it comes out in accusation. And does that sound familiar? This is like the water we swim in these days. A world of constant blame. They're the problem. They're the irritant. If I could just take care of that, everything would be fine. As we sit there with this log coming out of our eye. Let me just get that speck. And so many things are beneath the surface. And I think one of the things that comes out in us most easily is anger. That's like one of the three emotions that we recognize in ourselves, right? We know when we're glad, we know when we're sad, and we know when we're mad. But mad about what? I had this little... Were you able to get that poster? Have you seen this? These things are incredibly helpful for people like me who struggle with naming emotions. And it's too hard to like read the little thing underneath it all, but there's anger in the middle, but the truth is generally connected to anger is something else. What's up there? Anxiety, shame, sadness, fear, frustration, guilt, disappointment, worry, embarrassment, jealousy, hurt. That these emotions linger beneath the surface. And we experience those as a very young kid. And we come up with a technique to protect ourselves, right? But we do it as a child, and we do it where, like, chances are the thing that's really causing the problems, like dysfunction in our home, is too big for us to grasp. And so what we do is we come up with a strategy within ourselves to deal with that fear, to deal with that lack of control. We come up with a little strategy, an attempt, and we apply it to ourselves, and then we apply it to everybody else, and then we ignore it for our whole lives and never course correct and find ourselves at 51 years old, still going around, protecting myself out of judging others and judging me. Jesus is telling us the first thing we have to do is notice it in ourselves. And have you ever listened to that voice inside of yourself? Have you heard that voice of judgment? I had somebody do this for me where they said, I just like take a minute and access like that part, access that voice. Sometimes we just think it's our voice. But to listen to that terrible friend of ours speak to us horrible advice. And I think what my judge sounds like is just disgusted. Just disgusted with me. Like, oh, Jeff. You know what my judge says to me? He says, you're such a poser. Which somebody said to me when I was a kid, actually a sibling, if you're listening to this, I'm not holding a grudge, but man, oh, that one like stuck. And this judge comes in and says that to me any chance he gets. So I start looking for that in other people, like, well, yeah, they're one too, right? And Jesus is saying, Jeff, I want to speak right to that wound. Let me speak right to that wound. But in order for it to heal, we got to see it. One of my favorite little stories of judgment that is found in the Gospel of Luke. And it's a story, another one of these that you're familiar with, in Luke 10, 38 through 42. It says, now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. This moment, this parable is, I mean, it's a story, it's a real story, but it's like this living parable, and I love how this moment was captured. I always kind of feel for the people involved that their story gets told for all of us, right? But kind of an embarrassing moment for Martha. She has a couple of these where she gets angry with Jesus, which is part of how judgment works, right? There's this inner thing that manifests in like who's to blame, which ultimately I think sometimes affects the way we even are praying. Like, God, why aren't you taking care of this? The judgment doesn't just stop with others, right? It ultimately comes back on Jesus. Like, you could fix this, Jesus. All you need to do is tell her to come in the kitchen and help me, and everything will be fine. And Jesus comes in, and he speaks right to the problem. Oh, you're so anxious, so distracted by so many things. There's the log. Mary's the problem. She's just sitting in there doing nothing. Lazy Mary, right? She always does this. Just at the time where, like, I want to enjoy the party, I'm stuck in here and she's in there, right? God, my lazy sister. And then Jesus is sitting there and he doesn't do anything. He just, like, keeps talking and they're having this really meaningful conversation. And here I am stuck in here. And everybody's forgotten about me. And if it wasn't for me, this whole party wouldn't be happening. I invited everybody in here. Like, what in the world? Right? And you come out and you're like, really, Jesus? Tell her to come in. And we feel so self-righteous, don't we? I mean, that's the thing with this blindness, is like, I'm right here. And you wonder, like, oh, if you could get in there and see that heart. She probably feels so alone, forgotten. She hears laughter in the next room. And she's going, oh, I wish I was in there. I wish I was a part of that. Mary probably, all she knows how to do, maybe she's this wonderful host, but probably that's where she feels comforted. I'll just put everything together and then everybody will have a good time and everybody will appreciate me and then I'll have value. Except everybody's having so much fun without you. Right, this is like scrolling Instagram. Look at everybody having such a good time without you. And we like, oh, the judge is just having a field day with us. And that anxiety turns into jealousy. That jealousy turns into anger, which turns into resentment, which turns into contempt. We have a huge problem with this, don't we? And Jesus comes in and he speaks right to it. And this is important. He doesn't come in and say, Martha, you're fine. Martha, everything's fine. He comes in and he says, Martha, you're so anxious. Which sounds a little judgmental, doesn't it? But it's not. It's not, because the tone is so different here. See, it's not that we shouldn't be discerning. We should. Discernment is key, and again in Scripture, it reminds us of that. It's a part of wisdom. We are called to discern. And we're even called to speak truth. But Jesus does it with a much different tone of voice. And you see it here because he says her name twice. And this is always in Scripture a way of helping us to understand the tenderness of these words. If Jesus said, Martha, you're so filled with anxiety, you would hear it in a different tone than when he says, Martha, Martha, right? And Jesus comes in and he speaks right to the wound, but with compassion. That truth and love together is discernment. And see, discernment is what we're called to grow in. That we need a world that is filled with people of discernment and wisdom, but also compassion and tenderness, who speak those words with love, which means patiently and with kindness. And this is what Jesus models everywhere he goes, addresses the root cause, doesn't avoid it, sees right into it, speaks into it in such a way that it can heal. Because to acknowledge it and to receive that sort of love and security, Jesus is coming in and he's reminding Martha, I know you. I know you so well. I know that your heart is troubled. And without judgment, he speaks that word of compassion. He separates himself from all that's going on, looks right at her, and addresses the root. And so when Jesus says, take the log out of your own eye, he's saying, have the courage to see it. But ultimately, have the trust to let God come in and remove it. Because when that voice of judgment is speaking and when it's running rampant in our life, it drowns everything out. It's all we hear. It's full volume. Somebody's calling me right now. Spam risk. Sorry about that. When we hear that voice, when we pay attention to it, I think what is interesting is that it diminishes. It loses its power. I've heard this just about emotions. It's an interesting little psychological fact that when you can name a negative emotion, you cut its energy in half. Have you heard that? When you're feeling anxious and you go, I'm anxious, just that alone changes things. It separates us from it. These things no longer are flooding us or have control of us. We see it and we can step away from it. And that voice of judgment all of a sudden lowers in volume to the point where we can actually hear. To hear the voice of our shepherd. And Scripture tells us again and again that voice comes in its quiet, right? I love that story with Elijah where he's in distress and he's hiding in a cave and he's told that God's going to pass by, so he goes out to the edge and all of these things, like all this display happens, that fire comes in a rushing wind. These things come as a torrent, and then we're told that God is not in the rushing wind. That God is not in the fire. And then God comes in and speaks. And it's in the sound of the silence that God's voice comes. You've heard me use this quote before, but I think it's very clever. It's Pascal saying that all men's problems come from his inability to sit quietly in a room by himself. That may be a little overstated. I don't know if that accounts for everything, but it accounts for a lot. That so often when we get quiet, that voice gets really loud, that voice of judgment. But we can acknowledge it, and then we begin listening and paying attention, not for the voice of judgment, but for the voice of our shepherd. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice." And to tune our ears to that voice, what does it sound like? It comes in and speaks with gentleness and patience, with compassion, but truth. And it says, "Jeff, let's take a look at your heart." And I want to go, "But what about theirs? What about that guy?" Right? Certainly my heart's not that bad, right? And I think Jesus is going to persist. He's going to come closer towards us. He's going to speak. He's going to say, Jeff, I want to talk about you. But when he does, and I feel that, what happens is everything in my body relaxes. All this weight of judgment that I carry for myself drops away. And it's interesting as God comes in and does this, I think he's helping me pay attention to what I can bear. And this judgment at full volume is more than I can take. But without that judgment, oh gosh, I can run so much longer than I thought. Does that make sense? What we have the energy for? And this is the thing, that judgment, what it does is it gets in there and wrecks the things that we love the most. I could so easily get up here and preach going, "Oh, I love that I get to do this with you guys. I love it." But too often I go home and I go, "Oh gosh, that was such a stupid thing that I said. Why did I say that? Or you know what I should have said? Oh, this would have been better," right? And this thing that I love all of a sudden gets tarnished with all this stuff that I add to it. Because my hunch is, I think Martha loved being the host. I think she was good at it. I think that it was her idea. She invites everybody over, curates this space for everybody. And instead of experiencing the joy of her calling and her vocation, it's wrecked by the jealousy and the anxiety. And Jesus is saying, "I want to make your heart whole. I want to heal that space in you. I want to speak truth in it in such a way that that could resolve." And as it does, our hearts become larger. We get over ourselves. We stop just staring at our own stuff. And all of a sudden, we've got the room that when somebody else is with us, we're like, "Oh, I've got space for you." Instead of just seeing you through the lens of how you affect me, which is how most of us see, we're freed from that. Another little statistic. I was just reading that like 70%, when we respond emotionally to somebody else, 70% of that is our own stuff. And that's a low estimate, by the way. That's like a conservative estimate, 70%. When you have an emotional response, 70% of that is just your own stuff. Jesus is saying, "See it, let me speak to it." And here's the truth, he does, and he is. That voice is there, that Jesus speaks those words, but allows us to, in the end, open our hearts to hear it. Again and again, he says, "Those with ears to hear, let them hear." And that willingness to listen takes courage for us to acknowledge that voice, to maybe even hear how loud it is. But then to sit with God in that place and let him speak right to the wound. Psalm 145, 8 and 9 says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. What does that voice of your shepherd sound like? Well, there it is. Gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And that word steadfast love is like our best attempt to get around this Hebrew word of hesed, that it's just this never-ending, unfailing, constant love. It's the very opposite of that judgment. But that love is available not only for us to receive, but to give. And as our hearts are set free, we gain then the ability with discernment and in God's love to remove those splinters from the eyes of the other. Some questions for you to reflect on here. Question one, how does my voice of judgment sound towards others? How does it sound towards myself? Just want you to know, I sat with this question this week and I hated this. But it was so good for me to hear. Towards my circumstances, like, oh, if it wasn't for this, or why did this have to happen? What is its tone? What is it saying to me? Question two, think about where this might have begun in your story. How is this voice continuing to have influence on your decisions, your relationships, and your choices? Because that voice, that wound, probably goes back to a very little version of you. At the very least, you can have empathy with that little you and go, oh man, I learned this so young. And now I want you to think about God's voice and how it's different. What is its tone? Do you ever confuse the two? Does God ever come in with that voice of judgment, like, shame on you? That's not God. That's you. How are Jesus' words of discernment different than your words of self-judgment? My prayer is that each of you, if you can sit with this a little bit, that you can catch yourself doing this, and that when you hear that voice of God, you hear it say your name twice, that you hear it spoken with graciousness and mercy, patience and steadfast love. Would you stand with me? May we all hear, may we all see today, just a little more clearly, the power and the knowledge of God, the depths of something that we cannot comprehend, and may we be rooted in it and grounded in it. I pray for each one of you as we go from here, God, that you keep us safe this weekend. God, we celebrate freedom, all that you've done for us. God, thank you that you continue to set us free. And I pray now for each one that you would bless them and keep them. You would make your face shine on them and be gracious to them. That you would lift up your countenance on them and give them peace. Amen.